Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio. Without any further ado, I'd like to say, lyrics, like poetry, has a message. History, like a diamond. History is like a diamond that can shine clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we all can comprehend, like definition. News creates a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, we want you to pull back the curtain and see the real contribution, and you will find our Quest moment, where we will attempt today, this morning, to thank you for joining us again to hear a different perspective of our African-American diaspora. Without any further ado, again, our Quest moment starts out with me saying that a cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium. And all vibrations possess a wave nature. You see, in our community, our art is, in fact, and in spirit, the medium through which our airwaves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. We will begin our program this morning, like every Saturday morning, with our host, Mr. Shelton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning. When we look at change of events, we perceive it as an interpretation of news as it affects our community from the alloys of North. This is a report on the events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science that reveals an understanding of one event to another so that the listener would know, as Marvin said, what's going on. Change is inevitable, and whether you're either going to direct the changes in your life or you're going to go through the changes that others direct for your life, this leads us to make choices, and choices are our focus today. A brilliant poetess, and I might say one of my favorites from way back, had a few ideas about choices. Her name is Nikki Giovanni, and her poem is called Choices. If I can't do what I want to do, then my job is to not do what I don't want to do. It's not the same thing, but it's the best that I can do. If I can't have what I want, then my job is to want what I've got and be satisfied. And at least there's something more to want. Since I can't go where I need to go, then I must go where the signposts point, through all but always understanding that parallel movements aren't lateral. When I say I can't express myself the way I feel, I practice feeling what I can express. And none of it is equal, I know, but that's why man alone is among the animals who learns to cry. Personally, I've loved this poem for, I don't want to say how many years, but since I was a teenager. You know, and it talks about the choices and stuff that she went through in her life. And she so eloquently put it together in this little short ditty.
When I hear that poem, it resonates with me, and it reminds me that a person's experience will sometimes exceed their age, if you know what I'm saying. And
yeah.
I think that a lot of us can understand or comprehend where she was going with that, with her words, her choice words. She said a lot, even though that was a short poem, about our time, which unfortunately are still in existence. You know, some negative things that are still going on in our society today. If that makes any sense, Mr. Harris.
Well, yeah, that was one of my reasons for, like, bringing this back up again. Because, like I said, I read about this when I was in high school. And, like you said, sometimes you can be concise in your words, and they'll say a lot more than the actual words do. And choices is what everybody has to make in life. Because Gil Scott-Heron had a verse that said, seeing that change is going to happen anyway, it's better to direct the change instead of just going through it. You know, and all of these things are important today because people have to make choices in their lives. And some people feel like they're not able to make these choices. But the object of this poem that I got out of it, that there's always a plan B. You might not get what you originally thought of, but there's always another way of becoming successful in whatever endeavor you wanted to do.
Let's get feedback from Ms. Garner. Tanisha Garner, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Do you have any input?
That poem was very, very intense to make you think about your own life, especially the last statement that you made with the other poet, that the choices that we make, we have power to make our own choices. And I guess sometimes people get caught up because of the situations in life, and sometimes they make the wrong choices. But even in the wrong choices, you can learn from it, and that's when you gain wisdom and you can change things. So I guess with any great civilization, they had many choices that they made, but what are we going to do and what strides are we going to make that we can be able to shift what we want to do and how we want to do it to be able to make those choices that's going to change people's lives.
Absolutely.
So I feel as that we always in control, even though sometimes I guess we get caught up, but we have to remember the main focus of why we made those choices and what impact it's going to have on other people's lives as well as on my own lives.
Mr. Harris, absolutely. What would you say about someone who remains stagnant, unable to make choices that might make a better situation for themselves?
Well, in cosmic terms, to be alive, you have to be moving. You know, it's a vibration and stuff that goes on through the whole universe. If you're not moving, then you're technically dead. So if you don't move on the types of things that you want, you'll never have those things, and you'll always wind up being in the same situation that you were before. So it's kind of better to at least try to do something instead of just sitting around and accepting your fate from other people. This is what got us into slavery in the first place.
Well,
but that's another story.
Yeah. Let's get Walter Pierce, our student host. Do you have any interpretation or feedback, comment about Mr. Harris's poem by Nikki Giovanni?
Yeah, I did. I came in on like the last minute of it, but what I did get from it again is decisions that you have to make, and I guess the choices you have in life. Like, you might not always have your first choice and your first decision. But, you know, the world gives you options, and it gives you a lot of other options so that you could not only have a plan A, but multiple plans for what you want to do in life. So I guess you could just encourage people to go out there and just chase multiple dreams. Don't just have one set goal, have multiple set goals.
Now, you being the youngest on our panel, Walter, I have to ask you, are you confused with so many choices that you have to make? And have you been influenced to make possibly, I have to ask this, the wrong choices, if there are any wrong choices?
It is confusing. I guess you could say it's confusing for somebody young to know what you want to do, because first you haven't really experienced the real world, because I've only been on this earth for 16 years. So it's hard for me to know what to expect. You only could just listen to what people say to you and the daily experience you have in life, that you just want to trust yourself and trust what you believe you actually want to do and what you think is right. You just have to have that good conscience, I guess, to know this is what I have to do, and this is what I have to do to get there. And bad influences all over the place. They get you. They could get you in high school, in the middle school. It's just a thing where either you go and you follow those influences and negative outcomes happen, or you just go the other way and you stick with the good friends and the people you've been hanging out with since you were younger, and don't go down that path. So that's really just what it is for somebody my age. You know, you just have two choices, and you have to know, and you have to just remember what the teachers and your parents taught you about those negative choices and those negative influences that will come once you start to get a little older as a teenager is something you have to look out for.
Mr. Harris, the ball is back in your court. Continue, please.
All right, and then continuing with the choices. You know, when people normally think of curtains, they think of a covering or a screen. But when we think of curtains, we see it as an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the stage. Many artists and companies have grown rich with the support of the community. But what benefits has the community gained from these artists? Today, we pull back the curtain on Robin Rihanna Fenty, a Barbadian singer, actress, and businesswoman, born in February 1988. With sales of over 250 million records worldwide, she's one of the best-selling artists of all time. She has earned 14 number ones and 13 number top 10 singles in the United States and 30 top 10 entries in the UK. Her accolades include 9 Grammy Awards, 13 American Music Awards, 12 Billboard Music Awards, and 6 Guinness World Records. Forbes ranked her among the top 10 highest paid celebrities in 2012 and 13. And as of 2019, she's the wealthiest female musician with an estimated worth of $600 million. But aside from the music, Rihanna is known for her involvement in humanitarian causes, entrepreneurial ventures, and the fashion industry. In 2016, she created her Believe Foundation to help terminally ill children. In 2007, she was named one of the Cartier Love Charity Bracelet Ambassadors, which is each celebrity represents a different global charity. And to help raise awareness and combat HIV and AIDS, Rihanna and other public figures designed clothes for the February 2008 H&M Fashion Against AIDS line. She performed a series of concerts entitled A Girl's Night Out to benefit the Belief Foundation. The concerts was made free to the public. Money from sponsors and advertisers were donated to provide medical supplies, school supplies, and toys to children in need. She contributed the song Just Stand Up with 15 other female artists who shared the stage to perform the song live in September 2008 during the Stand Up to Cancer television special. The proceeds from the singles was given to a fundraiser. The television special raised $100 million for cancer research. She once said, "I feel strongly that children everywhere should be afforded the opportunity of a quality education. Therefore, I'm proud to announce the Flower Lionel Foundation partnership with education advocacy leaders like the Global Partnership for Education and Global Citizen. Working together, I know we can amplify the efforts and ensure that millions of children gain access to education globally." Excuse me. Rihanna founded the Clara Lionel Foundation in 2012 in honor of her grandparents, Clara and Lionel Braithwaite. Current programs included the Clara Braithwaite Center for Oncology and Nuclear Medicine at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Barbados, and many education programs. The foundation also lists an annual Diamond Ball charity fundraiser event, and since 2014 has raised close to $20 million for Orthopedic Center, the Hurricane Sandy Food Bank, PPE relief for the New York City COVID-19 first responders, and ventilators for her home in Barbados. She also gave relief to, also some of her relief was to provide support and resources to individuals and children suffering from domestic violence amidst this lockdown. Rihanna, along with numerous other high-profile celebrities, featured an online video called 23 Ways to Get Killed If You're Black in America. The video was released in partnership with We Are Here movement and called for action against police brutality. Now, the list goes on, and needless to say, I've learned a lot about this sister, and I am definitely impressed by this queen. Her choices have made a difference to many, and we're going to pull the curtain back on this sister.
Wow, that's a lot. Thank you for enlightening us and educating us about Rihanna and who she is behind the curtain to the stage. That's really cool. Miss Garner, you have any? Do you like Rihanna? First of all,
oh yeah, I like Rihanna. That's definitely my age range and younger. So yeah, definitely. It's so funny because I guess we really don't hear all those accolades that she does, and for her to do such great things, that's definitely good to know. And just keep up the good work, I will say.
Okay, Walter.
Yeah, you know, Rihanna can be seen as, for most people during my generation, as somebody who's an icon. So, you know, when you hear things about these icons and these celebrities doing stuff off the stage and doing stuff besides their music and really helping out people, helping, doing people the justice and doing people better, I guess you could say. And when you see these things, you know, it just makes you even like them even more. And that's why you see most of these celebrities today, some of them, as icons, because of what they do besides their work.
And, Walter, please continue. Our student host, take it away.
All right. So for the first segment of today, I will be talking about two diamonds of for today, and the intro for Diamonds is History is Like a Diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, today, to start off with the first diamond, I will be talking about Winnie Mandela. See, Winnie Mandela is one of nine children. Even though both of her parents were teachers, her family was very poor and was forced to live under the inhumane conditions of apartheid. Winnie, however, received informal education that included Latin, English, mathematics, in the sciences. The black children of South Africa today can no longer receive such an education. Winnie, like all black people of South Africa, knew that whites believed that they were superior to blacks. She wanted to help change things so that her people would be recognized and treated as equal. Receiving top grades in her studies, Winnie became South Africa's first black medical social worker. While she studied, she also organized church services and women's groups. In the course of her work, she would hear about black resistance campaigns being led by the African National Congress and a lawyer named Nelson Mandela. It was when Nelson was on trial for treason in 1956 that Winnie met him through friends. She fell in love with him immediately. They were married, but life with an activist was hard. Life with him was life without him, she had said. Nelson was constantly harassed and arrested by the security police. When he was finally convicted of treason, he was sentenced to life in prison. During this time, Winnie was banned from attending or organizing any public or private meetings. She took any job she could, care of herself and her two daughters, but she was forced out of each and every one of the security police, intimidated her employees. Through all the years of police harassment, Winnie continued to speak out against apartheid. She never lost hope for the freedom of her husband and of her people. Finally, in 1990, 28 years after his conviction, Nelson Mandela was set free. Together again, Winnie and Nelson continue to fight for the independence. Thank you. And that concludes that diamond. And, you know, you see somebody like Winnie Mandela, just a pure definition of woman empowerment. Somebody who wanted to be great, wanted to be good in all aspects of life, was very, very educated, very smart. Even from the background she came from, still was able to learn multiple languages and subjects that just increased her knowledge. And she was able to use that knowledge to start women groups and start organizations that include Black empowerment and the oppression of Black people, you know. And through all of that, she was able to meet Nelson Mandela, which, of course, was life with him was, of course, very hard because of the times he's been arrested. And that time he's been arrested for 28 years when he was sentenced to life, you know. Something like that had to take a toll on her mentally. And it's something that just had to be depressing for her. Having to constantly see your husband being arrested and being harassed by these police officers for trying to make a change, it is something that could definitely be hard on her. But she showed no backing down because she stayed by his 28 years. And I believe they ended up getting divorced anyway, but still the commitment she had to him and wanting the best for him and also for her people just shows how committed Winnie Mandela is to the people.
Okay. Let's get our panel involved in this particular discussion. And I'd like to give them something a little extra. Overcoming adversity is how I would define Winnie Mandela. But many African-American people of color have had to overcome adversity. Mr. Harris, question or comment?
Mainly a comment, you know, that, like, granted, when Winnie was doing the type of things she was doing, we have to understand that there was hundreds of years of colonialism thrown on top of this. And when the people were finally feeling like they needed to have some kind of say in how they were living, it was a similar struggle to what was going on here in America at the time. You know, when the Africans here in America were struggling to looking for civil rights. And the whole idea that I get from her life is that the struggle continues, and we have to move from one generation to the next generation to fight until everybody's free. Because until everybody is free, nobody's free.
Tanisha Gardner.
I agree with what everyone is saying. Everybody, you have to do. Basically, you have to do your part, and you have to play your part. You have to know where you fit in, and what's the reason why God put you here. And just stay focused. That's what it's about. It's about everyone that we talked about today, they were focused. And how do you stay focused? You basically stay focused by having goals and knowing what you want in life, and God will surround you with the people to get you to where you need to go. So that's what I take from it. It's just focus, perseverance, and endurance. Those are the three things I get from everything.
Okay. As we continue, Walter.
Yes, and for my sex segment of the day, I would like to talk about eating bugs. As a child, Audley Moore learned about the oppression of African Americans from the tragic things that happened to her own family. Her great-grandmother, an African woman who was enslaved, had been raped by her master. Audley's grandfather was lynched right in front of her grandmother, leaving her with five children. These events motivated Audley to devote her life to fighting racism. Although Audley was only able to complete the third grade, she was very interested in any activity that promoted unity for Black people. In the early 1920s, she became a member of the Marcus Garvey's University Negro Improvement Association and supported his Back to Africa movement. When Garvey himself came to New Orleans but was not permitted to speak in public, Audley and 3,500 armed Blacks marched to City Hall and demanded that he be allowed to speak. But Audley did not just join groups. She formed groups. She became well-known in Louisiana as a community leader and organizer. Among the many organizations she found in the Universal Association of Ethiopian Women Incorporation, the activities of this group restored 23,000 families to the welfare rolls and saved several African-American men from execution in Louisiana. Audley always hated the term Negro to label people of African descent. She felt that the word African should be used to describe her people. So she founded the African American Cultural Foundation and Corporation, which led to the fight against the word Negro. She also organized groups to assist in the defense of the Scottsboro Boys. These nine Black youth have been wrongly accused of raping two white girls in the 1930s. Even when Audley later moved to Harlem, being involved in civil rights causes, in 1930, she organized the first rent strike. For over 80 years, Audley has fought for the rights of all African peoples. She has won many awards for her work, and in 1950, a group of admiring African students gave her the appropriate title of Queen Mother Moore. Thank y'all. And again, somebody who you could see intellectually was different from Winnie Mandela, education-wise, I guess you could say. She only completed up to the third grade. But you could see she still had the intelligence and still had the willpower to go out and fight for her people because she knew the problem. She already had experienced the struggles and the racial problems of African-Americans during that time. And, you know, her grandfather was lynched, and that motivated her to do all these things that she completed in her life. Joining the Back to Africa movement with Marcus Garvey, fighting alongside him, using all that knowledge she gained from that to form her other organizations so that she could continue to fight as well. And she did that, pretty successfully. She was more of a person who wanted to fight for people, for her African people, and make sure that they had their position in society. Now, before I let y'all speaking, go into these, I want to compare these two, Winnie Mandela and Queen Mother Moore, and see, both of these women express my definition of today, which first, I'm going to read the intro for. definition. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition of today greatly expresses these two women today, which is definitely woman empowerment. Now, woman empowerment can be defined in many ways, but however, when talking about women's empowerment, empowerment means accepting and allowing people who are on the outside of the decision-making process into it. Now, we could all agree that women, especially black women, have been left out of a lot of the decision-making that has been going on in this country, which includes things like laws and things of that nature that that mostly you'll see white males make the decision for, and they be at the forefront of those decisions. And the reason I say these two women express that definition today would be because that's exactly what they strive for. These two women strive for their women and their people to be empowered and to have higher positions in society and not just sit back and accept their roles of what they already had in society, just being ran and ruled by these white Americans. Because, you know, we helped build this country, and we're not just going to sit back and act like we didn't do the majority of the work in this country. We're going to actually get up, and we're going to make sure we fight for our future generations to be able to have these high positions in society and to have these positions where we can make decisions for our people, because representation is important in these certain positions. We could talk today, like you see the vice president right now. I mean, the running Democratic vice president, which is Kamala Harris. You know, she could be an example of woman empowerment for a lot of these young black girls who aspire to have positions like that in the future. And you see even more and more African Americans having those positions in decision making, which is something that our ancestors strive for. They fought and they took those battles so that our generation could have these positions for decision making. And these two women, especially with the programs that were created, with all the movements that they've created that promotes these things, this is why they are the definition of woman empowerment. Two different women, two different education status, I guess you could say, but they all have the same goal at the end of the day. Thank you.
Okay. Tanisha Gardner, I would like to go straight to you to see if you have a question or a comment about Winnie Mandela and Queen Mother Moore.
The only thing I can say is power. I don't know, black women always been in the forefront. They give us the illusion that black women was never in control. We was always in control. If you think about our ancestors, even way before slavery, like if you want to talk about ancient Egypt, you had Hatshepsut when she was the first pharaoh that was a woman. And then you want to go back to Queen Zinga back in Africa when she had to do with the Portuguese. So we always been a power. So these are the stories that we have to tell our young sisters and especially our young brothers, that you have to respect the woman. When we came to Western civilization, that's when things start to change and we start taking on the white ideologies and European thinking. We have to remember who we are and where we came from. And for every strong black man, there's always a strong black woman behind him. So from that, that's what I gained from it. Because Marcus Garvey, he said, in order to liberate the minds of men, the souls of men, you got to change their minds. And that is very powerful. And that's what the women have to do. We have to teach our children the ways that they supposed and guide them and enlighten them. So that's when I hear of these women, that's what I think of.
Yeah. Let's see. Just one moment. Mr. Harris.
Question or comment?
Well, I guess most of the people kind of said, excuse me, most of the people kind of said what the truth was, that women have been, even though it looks like they've been in the background, they've been instrumental in every struggle that we've had from, like this was saying, from the beginning of time. You know, the whole matriarchal hierarchy of power in that we had before we got here, all the power ran through the woman. And, you know, and then, like, when Western civilization, like, they changed a lot of other things, everything went through the man. The man ran things. And so we kind of took that mindset. So we put the man up front, but the people that were actually doing the work, like when the Black Panther Party, people would assume that it was just the brothers running the show. But all the programs and stuff that the Black Panther Party was putting up, the sisters was running all that. And a lot of the ideas and platforms and stuff that we had all during our time and on the planet, sisters have been running stuff. And as our sisters go, so does our civilization. So that's all I can say about that. I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay. So, Walter, after hearing those comments, do you have anything to add?
I think what we got from this is we've all agreed that women have definitely played a big role in society. As Ms. Tanisha Gardner said, she says that especially our Black women has played an important role in society, which is very true. They've taken care of a lot of our problems, dealing with the families and just making their statements heard, making their emotions heard. They've never backed down from that. So I guess we all just came together and we all came to a consensus of that this women empowerment is definitely very important. And yeah, I just loved all the comments by what everybody said, and I appreciate all the input that we have given for this topic.
For you being a young male, right, what motivated you to, you know, choose these women? Why not men?
You know, first of all, I just want to state that, yeah, of course, when I do like these diamonds and I do two of them, I want to always make sure there's always connection between the two so that we can have a bigger discussion after those. That's the first thing. But going on the women, because women, again, especially for today's generation and how you see them, how you see women empowerment in effect, it's important to talk about the pioneers of this movement, the people who all started it off for these Black women to be able to have these positions and fight for these positions and have a bigger role in the decision making for America. And that's really what it comes down to. You always have to go back to your roots, know where you came from, and once you do that, there's no stopping you. You're already going in, because once they understand where they came from and how they are, that's what's going to motivate them, because of how much they've sacrificed, the older generation has sacrificed for just the newer generation to be great. And, you know, me and Mr. Bay was talking about it as well, just having a discussion about this yesterday, and it's important to, they're very important to our society, and we need to keep discussing them. And because, of course, as you were saying yesterday, We don't believe that white males, white European males, don't respect black women, and that could be true because they would have gave them better positions and better opportunities in society, and they would have had to keep fighting constantly for this. So if they would have respected, they would have already had it. But obviously, we had to put up a fight, and we won this, and we're still fighting this fight, I could say, but we're going in the right direction. So I guess that's what I got from it. And, yeah, that answers the question.
Well, on Wednesday, I had the opportunity where you did a diamond on Fannie Lou Hamer. Could you tell us a little bit about her and what inspired you to talk about her?
Yeah, of course. You know, Fannie Lou Hamer grew up similar to these women I was talking about today, you know. She got an education. She fought for women, particular making these groups and organizations to continue, I guess you could say, and fight for women empowerment. A couple things I could read here that she has accomplished is she co-founded the Council of Federated Organizations, which recruited Northern white students to protest the treatment of African Americans in the South. She helped set up the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party to challenge the white ruled regular. And that helped the Democratic Party and secure more representation of blacks in Mississippi politics. And, you know, she has these innovative ideas that at the end of the day help greatly and help progress for black people. This thing that she did first, again, recruiting white students to help protest, just something like that helps bring a voice, a even bigger and broader voice, including another background, another origin, to help fight your struggle. That, of course, is going to always progress your movement. Even though she was disabled with polio, again, she still had huge spirit. She still was, of course, always in good spirits and always for her people, no matter what her disability was. And that just goes to her heart. She had a lot of heart, and she just loved her people, and she always wanted the best for her people.
I would say that Fannie Lou Hamer lived in a society that had a handicap. I would say that the handicap that this society had was not being able to accept people for who they were, who they are. I would say not allowing them to vote, to register to vote. Fannie Lou Hamer had a voice. She paid the ultimate price. She had to overcome adversity. You see, when she decided to go out and register to vote, she was just a sharecropper, her and her family. And when she made that decision, her and her family had to leave the plantation with the clothes that they wore, that they had on their back. They had to immediately leave. And as they continued, as she went on to help being aware to go out and register and vote, they were beat. She was jailed and beat. Around the same time she was incarcerated, Medgar Evers was assassinated. She made a speech at a convention that was attended and with speakers like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And ironically, the president at the time, Lyndon B. Johnson, decided to have a press conference during her speech just to try to take the attention away from Fannie Lou Hamer
because he was afraid and didn't want people to hear what she had to say. And only for that to backfire and be reported as, well, the president made had a press conference, but this is what you should have heard or would have heard had he not made the conference. And her speech was heard and played over and over and over. And what was in her speech? She spoke about how she was incarcerated, how she was beat, how she was a sharecropper, how pretty much she had to overcome adversity. Spoke about how the red, white, and blue, she particularly talked about that red. And she said that black people's blood is entrenched in the flag in the red. And that we should all have an opportunity to live as a one people. But I want to ask the panel to chime in, and I want you guys to chime in and talk about overcoming adversity. We're going to start with Mr. Harris.
Yes. As far as adversity, you know, because, you know, everybody has challenges and stuff in their own life, you know, and it goes back to the choices and stuff that people make. You know, some people think that this is going to be too much and I'm not going to be able to do this and will give up on dreams and stuff that maybe if they persevered a little longer, they might have been able to attain those dreams. You know, I know I've done this in my life, you know, because even though I'm an educator now, I went through a lot of stuff prior and wound up not even graduating from college until I was 40 years old. You know, it was a dream of stuff that I wanted to have, you know, but I let other things become more important or let the obstacles in my life, instead of looking at those as opportunities, I looked at it as obstacles and let it stop me or slow me down from the things that I really wanted to do. You know, so these types of things happen every day. And, you know, the key is not that you're having an obstacle put in front of you. It's whether you're going to look at it as an opportunity to overcome it so that you can move on to the next thing.
Absolutely. And that goes back to your statement at the beginning of the show about making the right or making choices. Ms. Gardner.
Yeah, what I got from it is that this world is not – I want to say it's not going to change, but I guess when you look at the universal law, that you'll always have the law of polarity. And the law of polarity, you have negative energy and positive energy. And which side do you choose? Do you choose the negative energy or the positive energy? And that's when the adversity comes, because it's like, what choices are you going to make to stay in perpetual balance with what you are here for? And if the adversity comes up, that does not mean that you lay down and let things happen. You can't. That means you got to keep, like Ms. Harris is saying, you got to keep that momentum going and keep the fight going. You got to strive for greatness. And that means that we all have to come together and realize the God that is in us to keep going and keep pushing. And I love this quote. It says, the reason why evil people flourish is because good people do nothing. So if you want to see the change, you have to be the change makers. And the adversity pushes you. Without adversity, how do you know what your greatness would be if you give up? Like, you can't give up. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep pushing. And that's what God said. You got to renew your mind and renew that body to keep pushing and keep that endurance going and keep that fight alive. You know, that's what I got from it. Because that is very powerful. Even though they tried to stop her, God used that for her advantage to let the people know. Like, nah, we not, no, this is her true story. And it's crazy because it's like, what is our generation doing? You know, how are we going to step up to that plate? How are we going to fight against these adversities that's happening to us every day? You know, and speaking from another standpoint of power, and this is what we want, you know, and that's what we got to get back to. We got to know who we are and just look at our ancestors and look at their blueprint and make it stronger. You know, like, we definitely got to step up our game because our ancestors did too much for us to just to lay low and not be the greatness that we have within inside of us.
Okay. Before we go back to Walter, Walter, when we come back to you, I want you to kind of sum up the show today. We have someone, well, okay, I think we have somebody on the line here, and I just want to give them an opportunity. The number is 6778. I'd like for you to introduce yourself and pose to us a question or a comment. 6778. And we're going to transition right back to you, Walter.
Yeah, so you want me to sum up the show, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, we again, another action-filled with segment show that we have did today, just full of great segments. You know, started off with the poem today, which talked about decisions, and Mr. Harris bringing in Rihanna, a person who is probably considered one of the biggest icons for my generation, somebody who just does a lot for her people. And just, again, when you see celebrities doing that, giving back to their people, it always gives people more respect for them. And then we went into my segments, Queen Mother Moore and Winnie Mandela, and just how I was able to compare the two with women empowerment, because that's what they express. Some fighting, two different backgrounds again, I could say. Education again, Winnie Mandela being very educated, and Queen Mother Moore only having the third grade education, but they both had the same agenda at the end of the day, which was fighting for their people and especially also women empowerment, making sure that we as a society progress and grow and have equality, as you can say. And, you know, we also went back to one of the segments I did Wednesday, talking about Fannie Lou Hamer and how Fannie Lou Hamer, again, had the same types of agendas as these women I spoke of today. You know, her courageousness, I guess you could say, of, of just wanting to vote and for first time right out the leaving that field, she again went right down there and tried to register to vote, even though she was declined and they didn't allow her to do that. She still fought to so that she was given the right and her people was given the right to vote. So just the amount of heart and spirit that Fannie Lou Hamer and the rest of these women had today speaks all to my definition of today, which was women empowerment.
Okay, so let's talk about voting with our last 5 minutes after mentioning Fannie Lou Hamer. I've heard a lot of people in and on social media, in public, talk about voting as if it's an option, like we have an option, like we could opt out, like the option to vote might be irrelevant to black people in America. When you hear stories like Fannie Lou Hamer, right, to Harris, you know I'm coming to you, right? What is the importance? How do you sum up the show with one of the things that Walter missed was Nikki Giovanni? But sum up the show and somehow make it relevant to today's voting situation, Mr. Harris. And Tanisha, I'm going to come to you right after.
Okay. As far as voting and stuff is concerned,
like you said, there is no real option for that because so many people have kind of paved way with their lives trying to get that option in the community. As a summary for what the show was going on, because I didn't know where Walter was going with his diamonds and stuff like this. But this whole show was based on sisters, you know, and strong sisters who have made choices and stuff to do certain things in their life, whether this was a long time ago, were you talking like Mother Moore, Queen Mother Moore, or when, you know, not Mandela's really not ancient history. That's still within my lifetime. But Rihanna's only like, she's not even 40 years old yet. And she's done wonderful things in her short life. You know, and we need to understand that, like we were saying earlier, sisters have been the backbone of our community all along. When the brothers couldn't do stuff, stuff still had to be done. And it was the sisters that were doing it. And this show kind of sums up this from back in the day till today. Sisters are still in the forefront, even though we want to give credit to the brothers. You know, I always give credit to the sisters. And I'm really impressed by how this connected, even though our connections weren't like predetermined. We didn't consider that we were going to do it this way. But some things are just natural. And when we look through greatness, you know, we have to look through all women. So that was my take on what was going on today.
Okay, Ms. Gardner?
Yeah, definitely get out and vote. What I took from it is that look at your ancestors and look at what they've been through and compare it to your own life because, you know, it might not be as burnt, as painful as that, but I guess it's still the same, especially, you know, with our brothers dying, with the drugs in our community, with the housing situations. People feel hopeless, and that's why they don't vote, is because they've seen how some of the laws was passed and how, for instance, with the redlining. So it's like people gave up, but it's the people that, I guess it's the other percentage that is strong enough, definitely get out and vote because we have the power to create that change. We have to create a change on a federal level, on a state level, and on a local level, and on a county level. So for the ones that are broken, the ones who are hopeless, we got you because the rest of us is going to do what we have to do. And it took, and that's what I got from today. It's like the ladies, they took, like as I said in the Bible, God said he'd take one to help 10,000, and that's what we got to do. We each have to be that one to be able to reach those thousands that are broken. And we just got to advocate, keep advocating, and the ones that do believe in voting, just go out and vote, and we're going to take care of the ones who are broken and who are speechless. And that's what I get from it.
Okay. Speaking to the disenfranchised and yelling out, we got you. I appreciate that. This has been a great show. Walter, I'm going to let you close it out. I just want to make one more statement, and that is on a chessboard, you know, the one piece that can move all over the board and could check you, that would be the queen. And that has been our focus for today's show, the queen, right? We give our salutes to our queen. Walter, close the show out.
Yeah, again, thank you everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
Radio. Okay, thank you everyone. I want to thank Mr. Harris, our student host, Walter Pierce, our former Quest head and still a Quest head, Tanisha Gardner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who's tuned in to the show and on our live. And I just want to say thank you again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our African-American diaspora. We are Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio. Peace.